Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I'm Will Pruitt here to guide you through the wonderful world of TNA Impact Wrestling. This is an audio review for the March 14th show. I'm recording it the morning of March 15th. And hot dang, did TNA look good last night. I mean, like, really good. I thought that Lockdown looked good, and they used the same set from Lockdown, which I'm totally fine with. If that is their road set, I'm, you know, it looks like they've put a lot of money into it and they've put a lot of work into it. But I was watching Impact, and the biggest takeaway for me from this show was, holy crap, TNA might look better than WWE. Like, and I'm not saying their set's more for anything. I'm just saying that for me, sitting at home watching it, I liked the look of TNA last night and a whole lot. And maybe it's that, you know, I've seen the look of WWE for so long, and, you know, they made an upgrade with Raw 1000 to a different HD set, but it's not exactly different enough for me, and I've never really liked the little wave thing that people walk out of. I'd rather just have an entryway in the middle. But I actually, even if, you know, in 6 months I'm looking at both sets and I go, nah, I was wrong. It's all about WWE's. The thing remains that TNA has an awesome set right now. They have an awesome look. And as they go on the road, they look really good. If you were channel surfing and you stumbled upon last night's show, you haven't seen TNA much before. Maybe you saw it at the Impact Zone and you went, ah, man, I don't like that minor league stuff. Whatever. You change back. Maybe you're in like the 490 section of your channel guide and you see some wrestling, you turn it on and you go, wow, they look, is this WWE? I mean, they look major league here. They looked major league. TNA felt major league. And this is the first time I've watched Impact, and aside from the UK tapings, really been able to say that. If you're someone who maybe watches wrestling occasionally and you're flipping through the channel guide, maybe you're not satisfied with the network's Thursday Night 9 lineup, and you see this, you're psyched. And that's so great for TNA. It really is. I'm so happy to see them make some big production upgrades. This show was, it looked 1,000 times better than last week's Impact. And the main difference there is taping outside the Impact Zone to taping inside the Impact Zone. You look at the crowd in Sears Center in Chicago. Wow. What a massive crowd. And it's not that they drew this ginormous number. They drew a lot for TNA, but it's not like they drew like 40,000 people into the building. But TNA made that crowd look big. They made the, you know, they took advantage of the fact that the arena feels big, especially for TNA. Maybe y'all think I'm going too far raving about it, but TNA did an awesome job last night, just production-wise, just exposing people to what their product could be-wise. And on top of that, I think they produced a pretty good show. We'll get into the whole show, but the main story of it was Aces and Eights. You know, we're coming off of Bully Ray's heel turn at Lockdown, and the main story of this show was it's all about Aces and Eights. It's about putting heat on Aces and Eights. It's about getting people to buy into Aces and Eights as major heels. It's about making that faction look strong and dominant, and this entire show did that. It's awesome. TNA's doing a good thing. Now, I do have some qualms about one part of it that I'll get into towards the end of this audio. But before I get into going through the show segment by segment, guys, if you like this sort of audio review, y'all should be a .NET member. It's as simple as that. For as low as $5.50 a month, you'd get audio reviews of Raw, SmackDown, Impact, every pay-per-view, analyzed, reviewed by myself or Jason Powell or Chris Shore, combinations of those, or Jake Barnett. We're all there. We're all analyzing things for you. On top of that, you get the .NET Countdown show with myself and Jake Barnett going through the top five worst and bottom three moments most of the time of the week. Sometimes we do a special episode. This week, we actually did Jake's top five and bottom three WrestleMania moments. Next week, we're going to be doing my top five and bottom three WrestleMania moments. Those are fun audios, walks down memory lane and all that. On top of it, you get Jason Powell's .NET Q&A. Weekly basis, he takes member questions and answers. He takes the questions of members, answers them, He'll go to his sources in WWE and TNA. He'll talk to people for you. He'll find answers to your questions. On top of that, it's just a fun time. Again, a little bit of wrestling nostalgia sometimes, a little bit of, you know, current events, all of that mixed into the Q&A audio show. Boom. You're going, that's great. But I haven't even mentioned the flagship audio yet. The .NET Weekly audio show, Jason Powell and Chris Shore, most of the time for about 2 hours, going through the news of the week, offering insight and analysis. Oftentimes, Jason will hear things from his sources he's not going to put in print, he's not going to put anywhere. He's going to mention it in the .NET Weekly audio show. Great little news gems, great stuff. If you like to be an informed wrestling fan, the .NET Weekly audio show is a must listen on a weekly basis. Now, you're wondering how you can get all this, plus ad-free access to the site, the access to the ProWrestling.net members forum with a great group of guys in there. I'll tell you what, head on over to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link on the right-hand side of the page, and it's simple. Sign up as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, a little more for 6 months, and if you just want to try it out for a month. Now, this month includes WrestleMania, guys. We're not talking small potatoes here. We're talking WrestleMania. If you want to lock yourself in through WrestleMania and just a little bit of the week after, just 1 month, $7.50 for that 1 month. Please check it out. ProWrestling.net membership. I believe it's one of the best values in wrestling. As far as like the website memberships go, as far as getting that premium top shelf news content, ProWrestling.net's going to hook you up. So, with all of that said, with my plug out of the way, let's get into this show. This show opened with a recap of Hulk Hogan's big speech to Bully Ray backstage, interspersed with clips from Lockdown. The Bully Ray heel turn was covered here. They showed still shots of the match, and this is always interesting to me with wrestling companies. And then they showed the actual footage of Bully Ray hitting Hardy with the hammer, and they showed the ring being pelted with trash, Brooke Hogan and Hulk reacting afterwards. Like, it was a really well put together video package. Then we had, going from the video package into the arena, which I've already raved about, I've already talked about, Taz, Tanay, and Kennelly at ringside, and they are not really worth raving about or talking about. It's a bad situation in TNA's commentary. And the addition of Todd Kennelly has not really helped it. I thought it would. I thought that, if anything, Todd Kennelly would be forcing Mike Tanay and Taz to up their game, and it almost seems like Mike Tanay and Taz have just kind of been like, we don't need to, and Kennelly has resorted to their level. In a way, it kind of seems like Tanay and Taz just want to do their thing, and Kennelly is sometimes going, hey, I want to call a match, and they don't really want to listen to him. They do have the announcer's table at ringside, though. We have yet, it's been two shows in TNA, and we have yet to see anyone go through that announcer's table. Now, I'm trying to think back. I remember when they had the announcers at ringside in the Impact Zone. I also don't think the announcer's table was all that frequently used in TNA either. I think it's actually a really stable, I think TNA stabilizes their announce table a lot, and you look at the TNA announce table, and it definitely looks different than the WWE one. They're rocking some flat screens, rocking HD out there, as opposed to WWE, where it's like, hey, you like CRT monitors from the early 90s? Which are great for throwing around. I think those are the most durable things ever made. So that's not a bad choice. But they're announce table. I don't think we're going to see many guys crash through it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the new rules of the X Division will be break the announce table to win. Oh yeah, that was an interesting one. Dixie Carter put on Twitter a little bit before Impact started last night, X Division matches are going to have new rules starting on March 23rd. Okay, are you going to announce? Or 21st, sometime in March. Sometime this month, and I kind of went, are you going to announce them? Or just expect us to know them? So, yeah, which is chill. So let's talk real quick about, then we, of course, got the tease of AJ Styles' return, all of that. Then they said, you know, we're going to open the show with a tag team title match. Tag team title graphic showed, Chavo and Hernandez come to the ring. Pretty good reaction for them, actually. And then, boom, Aces and Eights hit. It was everyone out but Bully Ray. for that first attack. And they ambush Chavo and Hernandez. They beat him down. And this was kind of strange. No one came out to help them or even clear them from the ring. But it was D'Lo, Anderson, Doc, Knox, D-Von, Garrett Bischoff, Wes Briscoe. By the way, Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe are growing beards. Yes, they got the memo that that in TNA, beards matter. And they are now growing beards. Yes, that is worth covering in audio. Don't tell me it's not. Those are beards. So Chavo and Hernandez are cleared from the ring. D-Von takes the mic. And D-Von, he just seems like he's trying so hard to be a heel sometimes. Like, where with Bully Ray, it seems effortless and like he's a bad person. With D-Von, it's like, I need you all to sit down and shut up. Like, oh, yeah, they're really going to hate me for that. Like, he's sitting backstage going, man, they're really going to hate me for saying this. I know it. When I tell them to sit down and shut up, they're going to do the opposite of what I say. Yeah. And they're going to boo. That's my really bad impression of D-Von. I don't know why he got slightly southern when I did an impression of him, but that's really the only type of voice I can do. So you're just kind of stuck with southern-ish impressions. But D-Von introduced the new TNA World Champion Bully Ray. Aces and Eights music played again. I might miss Bully Ray's old music a little bit. I don't even know why. But maybe because I just don't really like the Aces and Eights music. I'm a passive heel. I don't know, it sounds too passive for me. It sounds like a passive heel in theme music. Yeah, I know. I'm saying that I'm personifying theme music right now in a way that I shouldn't. That's what you get when you listen to these audios. So Bully Ray came to the ring, TNA title draped over his shoulder. Aces and Eights are still using a side entrance to the building. I kind of understood this at the Impact Zone. When it was like, hey, the Aces and Eights headquarters or clubhouse, it is outside. Now they have to set up a mobile clubhouse that leads them through the outside of the building. It's a little thing. They want to establish Aces and Eights as outsiders and all that, so maybe they refuse to use TNA's craptastic entrance ramp. No, you're not on Star Tours, by the way. I just got a text message. So Bully Ray, president of Aces and Eights, says, I am Bully Ray. I am the president of Aces and Eights. I know, right? I'm the guy that used Sting. I'm the guy that screwed Brooke Hogan. I'm the guy that made a fool of Hulk Hogan. And he talks about making a fool of every single fan, saying that for 9 months they believed him, they trusted him, they thought that he was against Aces and Eights in these battles, and they bought into it. Basically, he just kind of made fun of the fans, made fun of Hulk, Bully, made fun of Hulk, Brooke, and everyone else, and Sting. And that was it. He said that he also said that that Sunday didn't go as planned, necessarily. That the plan was when Garrett and Wes came down that he was going to leave the cage right then. But then Hulk had to give him that motivational speech, and he knew that he had to make something big happen. Thus why he didn't leave the cage then. I'm going to commend TNA for one thing. That was one plot hole that they filled. There's about four others that really need filling, like the concrete pillar to the face. But that is a plot hole that they took the time to fill, and I appreciate efforts to do that. Because most wrestling companies, heck, I'll extend this to, like, Ring of Honor and Dragon Gate. They don't take the time to fill plot holes. They just go, look, flips! WWE doesn't do that. They're more like, look, chin locks! Look at what Antonio Cesaro can do. Lock your chin. Yeah. And I like Cesaro, by the way. But he does a lot of chin locks. So, Bully Ray, then Hogan chant breaks out. Bully Ray says he doesn't give a damn about Hulk, and he says that the Aces and Eights are going to do what the NWO could never accomplish. Ray called out Hulk and begged him to fire them. You know, just fire me. You want to come down, fire me, fire all of us. And then said, nah, it's not going to happen. And the Aces and Eights left the ring. Oh, and he said, and when you're an Aces and Eights, Aces and Eight? Is it just the Eight that's singular? When you're an Ace or Eight, you never walk alone. Yeah. a decent opening segment. They TNA, this is a reboot show. They, make no mistake about it, Lockdown was the end of a reboot. I think Chris Shore noted in his, on some audio show in this past week, I think it was in his Lockdown audio, TNA has changed all of their championships, aside from like the little red toy belt, but all of their meaning, their four meaningful championships, TNA has changed them all in the last month. The tag titles, the X Division title, the women's title, Knockouts title, and finally the TNA world title. They've all changed. They are changing creative directions for going on the road. Like, there is something going on creatively in that company that has them changing what they're doing to make it better. And this, I think this show was the first of the real reboot of TNA, and you got it opening with the strong heel faction looking strong in the middle of the ring being led by the world champion. Good stuff. Like, my one worry is what I'll get to later in the show, and it involves the lead babyface in TNA right now. It's almost the opposite of the problem that they had a couple months ago, or a month ago when I was going, D-Von is your number one heel? But we'll get to that. So, backstage, Sting is upset at Bully Ray. He said he's digging a grave. He's digging a grave for me, and he's digging a grave for TNA. Yeah. He said, now he's in the fast lane, and it pisses me off. Sting then said that he wants to talk to Hulk. Then we got Tara and Gail Kim versus Velvet Sky and Mickie James. Taryn Terrell, they announced that Taryn Terrell is on probation. They did a little cut-in promo as Gail Kim came to the ring with Gail saying, hey, Taryn, you're on probation. I'm glad Brooke Hogan, after all she went through, had the good sense to do this. And they had a pretty good women's match here. Mickie James and Velvet Sky versus Gail Kim and Tara. Tara had Jesse with her. Pretty good stuff in this match. It went about 10 minutes. There was a commercial break in the middle. But the end of it was pretty decent. It was just some solid women's action. I think TNA highlighting the Knockouts division is a good choice. The finish came with a... I'll go through the whole thing for you. Gail Kim pushed down Taryn Terrell. She sold it and then returned fire. Tara then came in and hit Mickie James with the Widow's Peak. Then Velvet came in, spun Tara around, hit her with the In Yo Face, and pinned Tara. So Mickie James and Velvet Sky beat Tara and Gail Kim. I think your main feud in the Knockouts division is Gail Kim and Taryn Terrell. I don't know how Velvet Sky works into that, but the crowd's hot for Taryn. Like, this was another city where when Taryn was hit by Gail Kim, the crowd was shocked. They gave her the, oh! And then finally when Taryn fired back at Gail Kim, there was a little pop. So I think they've got something with Taryn and Gail. It remains to be seen. I don't remember Tiffany, former general manager of ECW. I don't remember Tiffany being that great in the ring. I can't think of a ton of matches she had. I do remember liking her a lot as the general manager of ECW, though. That was a fun role for her. So, yeah, highlights aired of the Bully Ray promo, like they do. And then Aces and Eights was shown drinking beer in the backstage area. This is a little thing, and it's the really picky production guy in me that is pointing this one out. They were using, like, a white plastic folding table back there. Like, they were all gathered around in folding chairs in a white plastic around a white plastic folding table, drinking their beers in the backstage area. And then Ray just, taunted Hulk, said, I don't think he has the balls to fire us. And someone went, hey, Bully, you heard from the old lady lately? And Bully Ray decided he was going to call Brooke. Brooke, of course, sent him to voicemail. And Bully Ray and the Aces and Eights guys left a pleasant voicemail message for her. I still think that Brooke Hogan could be part two of this turn. I think that it would be a strong choice, in all honesty. I can't believe I'm saying that I want to see more Brooke Hogan and her involved in a prominent storyline more than she already is. But I really think it would be a strong choice to have Brooke turn on her dad. There's one issue with it. Again, it's my main issue with this program. I'll get to it later in the show. It's a big one, which is why I'm leaving you hanging about it. And you probably already guessed what it is, and you're annoyed with me for making you wait. Well, too bad, listener. I'm going to do what I want. Slammiversary commercial said it's going to be in the Boston area. I love the TNA's getting around the country right now. That, you know, it's not like they're coming out to Southern California anytime soon, unless they announce a new TV date sometime real soon. But I'm psyched for the people that get to go and see TNA live. I think that they have a good thing going. Camera guy approached Hulk Hogan about whether he would fire Aces and Eights, and I asked about Brooke Hogan. Hulk replied, "Not now," angrily. Then we had Robbie E versus Robbie T in a big lockdown rematch. Robbie E said that Terry's win at lockdown was a fluke. Terry dominated Robbie E. The crowd chanted, "Feed me more." And Rob Terry won and danced afterwards. Okay, it's a fun comedy act. I guess I can laugh at it. That's as far as I go. I can laugh at it. I'm not... I don't think it's a really great gimmick for him. I also don't think that not using Robbie T as a... or Rob Terry as a bodyguard is a good choice. I think TNA... they have something with him look-wise, but I don't believe that they have anything with him wrestling ability-wise. So a bodyguard's really the perfect role for him. He shot out of Sting walking into Hulk's dressing room. We went to commercial. Backstage, Bully Ray was, again, at the Aces and Eights table, and I guess they had a TNA program or merchandise catalog, or someone went to the merch stand for Aces and Eights, and he complained that there was not Aces and Eights merchandise on sale. Well, they're showing your shirts on their commercials, and they showed some people in the crowd with Aces and Eights shirts, and I don't think they ordered those from the website. But I digress. It's a story. So he opens up the TNA Wrestling official program, flips it open and says, you know, we're going to go after whoever's here, looks at the picture, and everyone just kind of gathers around and laughs. We would find out later in the show who they would see. Inside of Hulk Hogan's office, Hulk stood up and threw his crutches aside and yelled at Sting, said, you know, you let me down, you let everyone down, I trusted you, and you've led us to where we are today. You are hurting this company. You are the worst thing. God, why does everyone get mad at Sting whenever an invading faction comes in? It's like, yeah, well, this is Sting's fault. It's all Sting. Hey, Sting, maybe if you wouldn't have been, you know, maybe if you wouldn't have been in that match at Bash at the Beach 96, we wouldn't have this problem. Yeah, I just feel like everyone gets prematurely angry at Sting when there's a faction coming in, and it's a big problem. Because you know that it leads to Sting walking away, and he becomes a crow, and lowers from the rafters, and hits people with baseball bats, and so on and so forth. War Games 96, by the way, guys. Great match. Great stuff from Sting, not being trusted. Possibly my favorite Sting moment of all time. But Sting said, Sting said we need something tonight. Oh, Sting told Hogan not to fire Aces and Eights. We need to get back. And Sting said, or Hogan said, there is no we. Hogan straight up broke up with Sting in the middle of this segment. Just said, there is no we. And, Hogan yelled at Sting and told Sting that he makes him sick. That, Sting makes Hogan sick. Man. The one thing about this, I don't know if the breakup with Hogan was supposed to emotionally affect Sting, like, make him sad, but when Sting came out later in the show to face Austin Aries, like, Sting was just, he might as well have been wearing his early 90s gear and face paint, because he was doing the howl, he was, you know, pointing to the crowd, he was reveling in the moment, not looking sad and downtrodden because his good buddy, the Hulkster, had decided they weren't friends anymore. So, then we got the recent AJ Styles recap stuff. Tanay had the return of AJ Styles. Man, AJ, nice beard. Because everyone in TNA has a beard. Backstage, Austin Aries and Bobby Roode approached Sting and mocked him for falling for Bully Ray's antics. Made fun of him. And they were kind of going back and forth. And then Sting said, well, I want to have a match tonight. And Roode started backing away as Austin Aries starts going, you want to have a match tonight? Well, I know who can beat you. I know the perfect guy. His name is Bobby Roode. And then he looked over to where Roode was, and Roode was gone. And suddenly Sting said, I'm fighting you tonight, to Austin Aries. And man, that's a cool main event. I'm sitting there at home watching going, I approve. I'm totally fine with Bobby Roode versus Hulk Hogan, or with Austin Aries versus Sting. What? Bobby Roode versus Hulk Hogan? What am I on this morning, guys? I'm perfectly fine with Austin Aries versus Sting. That's great. That's cool. Like, that'll be fun. So that was kind of a fun segment. Yeah. And also, I should note that TNA had the Aces and Eights take over their website. Their Twitter was quote-unquote hacked by the Aces and Eights. You know, just kind of the Aces and Eights IT team. Crack IT team that they have. I think it's the same guy that does their social media. Are we going to find out that at Lagana is an Aces and Eight? Are we going to find that out, that Dave Lagana is an Aces and Eight because he loves social media so much? I think that's a thing in our future. Dave Lagana, Aces and Eights member. Chrissy Hemme introduced AJ Styles. His music played, he did not come out. You know, they did the whole phenomenal entrance. They don't have pyro when they're on the road. I know it sounds picky, and I don't need fireworks to enjoy wrestling, believe me, but I do miss pyro. Like, I don't like the impact zone at all, but I like the ability to blow things up and set things on fire inside of the impact zone. AJ Styles' pyro entrance is cool. I don't need, like, the mega pyro for Hulk Hogan. I don't need all of it, but there's some things that I think TNA really misses when they're on the road. And now that they're permanently on the road, I would like to see them maybe at some point in the next year work up the budget. And if their shows keep drawing well, I think they could work up the budget to spend on some fireworks to make them look just a little bit better on the road. It's a little thing, but, you know, I'm all about picky production things, obviously. AJ Styles' music played, did the whole AJ Styles entrance, no one came, played his music again, nothing. And then the Bad Influence music and entrance graphics hit, and Christopher Daniels and Kazarian came to the ring. Christopher Daniels dressed as Hawk. Kazarian dressed as Animal, full face paint and everything, and calling themselves the Legion of Boom. And they said it's Throwback Thursday, and since they're in Chicago, they're going to dress up as a couple of Chicago natives. Wow. Just wow. What a funny thing to do. The face paint looked good. They looked good. I was a fan of this, for sure. And Daniels started, with, well, in true Hawk style. Daniels concluded with, oh, what a tush. But James Storm, you know, they basically said AJ Styles isn't coming. He's, you know, they kept on railing against AJ Styles like they have for a few years. James Storm then came out and he comes to the ring. And they were mocking, the team they're mocking was bigger, stronger, and a lot more over than they'll ever be. And he said, unlike you two douchebags, they're actually from Chicago. They aren't actually, but that's fine. They were booked as from Chicago, I guess. They were actually from Minneapolis, like the Twin Cities area, not Chicago. Ooh, that's awkward for James Storm. But yeah, this ended up being a James Storm versus Christopher Daniels match. Kazarian was at ringside, and James Storm beat Christopher Daniels with with the backstabber, his closing time thing, whatever. Not a great match. It was only 3 minutes and 40 seconds. I think that two guys at their stature probably should have had more time on the show, but it did seem like they were trying to pack it in. So maybe I'm just being too picky. And this, James Storm did avenge his loss from the Genesis pay-per-view, which Mike Tenay very quickly pointed out this is a Genesis rematch. And good job on that one, Tenay. Nice catch. But after the match, AJ Styles runs in. Daniels and Kazarian start attacking Storm. And so AJ Styles does run in. And it's AJ Styles in, like, full-on hoodie, beard, long hair. Milk was a bad choice. AJ Styles. And AJ runs in, attacks, or throws Kazarian and Daniels out of the ring, and then clotheslines James Storm down just for good measure. Boom. It was a fun thing from them. AJ Styles, there's so mystery about who he is and what he's up to. They're, you know, he's definitely playing a tweener role here. He doesn't like Daniels and Kazarian, but boy howdy, I don't think he's happy with baby faces either, and especially not James Storm, who caused him to lose that match where he can't get a title shot for a year. I would like to see that brought up a little bit more. The no title shot for another year thing. I would really like to see AJ that mentioned to AJ Styles more and more as we go through with this story. So, yeah, it was good. It was a good segment. I didn't like the match, but it got them where they needed to go. Footage aired of Wes Briscoe and how he beat Kurt Angle at the pay-per-view. Kurt Angle was then goaded by Wes Briscoe backstage, and the rest of the Aces and Eights jumped him from behind. It was another Aces and Eights beatdown. Todd Kennelly said at the end of this beatdown, this scene is all too familiar or something, and I was like, yeah, hasn't Angle been beat up by Aces and Eights like 17 times at this point? Like, Angle has just been thrashed by them repeatedly. It's all that happens. They've done injury angles, they've hit him with hammers, they've, you know, taken out his leg, they've done everything they can to him. I think it might be time for something different to occur there. And this is all part of TNA treaded water for a long time with Aces and Eights, and one of the consequences of it is stuff like this is going down now. So that's a bummer. But yeah. Oh, sorry. Mike Tenay said the all-too-familiar line. Yeah, they attacked Kurt again. It kind of didn't have the effectiveness you wanted it to here. Joseph Park made his way to the ring wearing a suit, rocking it lawyer style. Said members of his law firm were in the crowd, but he couldn't get them good seats. No, he got them bad ones. He actually apologized to them about the seats. You know, he said he doesn't have a whole lot of clout around there. And he talked about his favorite moments in his life and graduating law school, being accepted as a partner at Park, Park, and Park. And then said that standing in the middle of the TNA ring in Chicago, in his hometown of Chicago, was definitely one of the top moments in his life. There was a cool thing that someone made a sign to that said, "I believe in Joseph Park," like the "I believe in Harvey Dent" stuff. That was nice. I appreciated that sign. I too believe in Joseph Park. Matt Morgan's music plays. He's in like jeans and a tank top and comes to the ring. Morgan took the mic, addressed Hogan, and said that he's made repeated mistakes, and he's going to start eliminating Hogan's mistakes. You know, why should a guy like Joseph Park have a contract? He's, you know, he's bad. So then Park challenges him to a fight, and, you know, kind of says, you know, Morgan challenges him to a fight. Park says, hey, in Chicago, we fight eventually. And Morgan said, no, we do this on my time. There was an awkward moment where Park started to turn around, but Morgan wasn't set up for the carbon footprint, or like Park turned to earth, something weird happened, but you could kind of see them quickly reset, and then Morgan hit the carbon footprint on a turning around Park, and Morgan said, my time is next week. We're going to do this next week. So Matt Morgan versus Joseph Park will happen on Impact next week. I assume Matt Morgan wins that one. Because, you know, they're pushing him hard. Him and his beard. Everyone's got a beard in TNA. Backstage, Bully Ray told the rest of the gang he felt good taking out a gold medalist. I mean, who doesn't feel good beating up an Olympic gold medalist? There's this guy that lives next door. Olympic gold medalist. I go over there daily just to face punch him. I think his gold medal's in table tennis, though, so I feel kind of bad. None of that is true. You know, Hulk again taunted Hulk, or Bully again taunted Hulk from backstage to fire them. And as, you know, basically said, hey, we're going to ambush. Like, it was kind of a play that Aces and Eights were going to be around later in the show again. And then we got a video of Brooke Hogan, and they promoted it saying, you know, we're going to see Brooke Hogan's reaction to what Bully Ray did to her. And the awkward thing about it is that they promoted it with this shot of Brooke Hogan crying. And they cut to her on a, you know, they cut to this segment, and it was Brooke Hogan crying over what Bully Ray did to her. She did a fine job acting here, actually. I was surprised by the acting job done by Brooke Hogan. And basically just, you know, I don't want to talk to anyone. I trusted him. I loved him. It was fine. You know, TNA likes the soap opera stories, and it was definitely soap opera-esque. And at the end of the video was Brooke Hogan going, I don't know why so many people take advantage of me. That was a little depressing. That was a sad one. And Taz then said on commentary, you'd think Brooke would be happy for her husband.
one shining moment in a few nights of mediocrity for Taz, because that line made me laugh. Then we got Austin Aries, who had Bobby Roode with him, versus Sting. And Roode and Aries for the whole night were in Dirty Heels t-shirts that had, like, sparkles on them and were sleeveless. Nice sparkly shirts, gentlemen. Sting got a big reaction, and the announcer sold this as the show's main event. It was Sting and Austin Aries. The crowd was dueling with chants for them all the way through the show. I was surprised at that. Surprised that they weren't trying harder to make Austin Aries a heel, especially in there against Sting, because you don't want, you know, Austin Aries does not compete in popularity with Sting in the TNA universe. I just don't think that was the wisest choice. But loud dueling chants they go to commercial. Sting ends up beating up Roode on the outside when Roode tries to interfere. They go to commercial. When they come back, the referee is throwing Roode out, telling him, you know, get out of here. Sting got a huge ovation. That should just be noted, by the way. And that got a big ovation, the referee throwing Roode out. Roode comedically oversold it, like he does. And then we got more Aries and Sting action. Actually, a decent match between the two prior to the finish. I really enjoyed what they were doing. Sting ended up locking Aries in the Scorpion Deathlock. And then the Aces and Eights ran out. And it was the Aces and Eights attacking Sting. Aries was able to roll out of the ring and get out of there before he got Aces and Eighted. But it was Sting and Austin Aries going to a no contest in about 15 minutes. The gang then held up Sting, and Bully Ray went, "I used you," and asked, then hit him a few times and started calling out Hulk Hogan, said, "Come on out here, Hulk, come on out, I dare you." And they went to commercial with him saying that. The announcer's going, "Is Hulk gonna come?" Come back from commercial, Hulk Hogan arrives, big ovation there. Hulk Hogan, then he comes out on crutches and saying, firing Bully Ray would be too easy. Then he went into, like, Hulk Hogan cliche mode going, every dog has his day. It may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow. But you live by the sword, and you die by the sword, brother. I'm, like, just a weird, like, what? I don't know what you just said, but it didn't make sense. Because Hulk Hogan doesn't make a whole lot of sense when he just starts, like, he's like a cliche sprinkler. They just kind of fire off, and then he resets, and then they fire off, and he resets. Finally, he gets to the point. And that point is that he's empowering everyone in TNA now to do what needs to be done to wage an all-out war against Aces and Eights. What the hell was happening before? If there wasn't a war going on, what was going on? What was happening? So he says that Jeff Hardy's music hits. Hardy, Samoa Joe, Magnus, Kurt Angle, Joseph Park, Chavo Guerrero, Hernandez, Rob Terry run out, and they brawl with the Aces and Eights in the ring. Aces and Eights ended up getting the better of the brawl, and this was a pretty long brawl to go off the air. It was a long time, and it looked kind of clumsy at moments. There were times when it was like, cool, the Aces and Eights have the upper hand, and, oh wait, the baby faces are coming back. And then you had, like, four random Aces and Eights members standing around, one random baby face standing around, and the rest of everyone else brawling. Like, it really didn't look like that great of a brawl, which was not fun. But a Bully Ray ended up, whipping TNA members with his chain towards the end of it. Hogan watched from the stage, basically, as the TNA roster, or the TNA guys, were eventually beaten down. They were down for the count, and Ray then got out of the ring and walked up the ramp towards Hogan and said, "What are you going to do now, Dad?" Which was cute, that he called him Dad. It's adorable. Yeah, D-Von and D-Lo also joined Bully Ray on the ramp. I can't imagine that D-Lo is the right choice here. I still can't. It's weird to me to use D-Lo Brown in this role. But that's how the show went off the air. They put heat on Aces and Eights, let him get over on, you know, the top of the TNA roster, and made, I think, you know, really made them look like a legitimate threat. And that's been something that's been important, and that's something that hasn't been done. There was one week where the Aces and Eights looked like a threat, but they came back and lost matches that next week, had to win them in odd ways. This is TNA really putting their best foot forward, I think. And so let's get into my much promoted major issue with this. And that's who the babyface is in this situation. You got Bully Ray as your lead heel. Great lead heel. Strong lead heel. Who's your lead babyface? They all came out to Jeff Hardy's music. So maybe it's Hardy. And that's fine. If TNA builds around Jeff Hardy as the savior, Jeff Hardy as the guy who can get it done, that's great. I love that. Build around Jeff Hardy. Like, make him your lead babyface. My worry and what I'm seeing is that the lead babyface is Hulk Hogan. The lead babyface is a guy who is walking around on crutches, can't bump, can't wrestle at any point, isn't going to wrestle, and if he does, isn't going to have a good match. I see right now the lead babyface as the authority figure. And there's this weird thing, too, and it comes across in what Tanay and Taz and Todd Kennelly say. It comes across in what Hogan says. More than just the lead babyface being Hogan, the lead babyface also somehow seems to be TNA. Like, the promotion itself seems to be the babyface in this situation. Wage an all-out war for TNA. We're here to fight for TNA. These guys are running down because they want to fight for TNA. Why should they want to fight for TNA? Why should the name at the top of the contract really matter to them? Why should there be that personal emotional investment? And why, as a fan, should I be watching going, yeah, TNA? I'm sorry, but there comes a time when you need to build up actual baby faces instead of just a promotion. Ring of Honor is going through the same thing right now. And it's kind of funny because I had this idea when I saw that scum faction form. I was like, yeah, but the lead baby face, you know, a bunch of nondescript guys ran down and got beat up by scum. But the lead baby face in this situation, it's not Davey Richards. It's not Michael Elgin. It's not, you know, any of the guys getting beat up by scum. The lead babyface in that situation was Ring of Honor. And fans just shouldn't have to invest in a promotion. They should be able to invest in an actual character. The promotion should not be the lead babyface. And that's what TNA is facing right now as well. The promotion is the lead babyface. I'm not a fan. Like, I think that... And that's my biggest worry right now with TNA. And, you know, I've talked about how major league they looked, how great they looked on the road, how awesome they looked. But right now, my biggest worry looking at that company is they don't know how to build a big lead babyface. They're going to build up the promotion as a babyface, say that the promotion got their vengeance, and then the promotion, what happens going forward? You can't put the world championship on a promotion. You're not going to talk people into the building with the promotion. No one wants to see the letters TNA or Impact Wrestling get their vengeance. They're investing a whole lot. And it goes back, it really goes back to kind of a theory of promoting that came up during the Monday Night Wars. And that theory of promoting is that a wrestling promotion is stronger than a wrestler. It kind of had, you know, with guys jumping ship and everything, and really just a lot of people started investing in promotions. You know, people became fans of WCW or WWE. People became fans of an entity and not a guy. And that's what I see TNA trying to foster in their fan base. But what it actually does is it makes it so fans don't, you know, no one's cheering for TNA because they're TNA. That's not happening. So what's happening? People aren't cheering for a babyface. People aren't cheering for their guys, and it's going to hurt them. I know, it's kind of a long, rambling thing I'm going on here, but you've got to understand, in 6 months, when the Aces and Eights story is over, at Bound for, whenever it's supposed to conclude, what babyface will have been made? What strong babyface is TNA saying, this is our guy now, once that story concludes? Because my worry is that the strong babyface they make is total nonstop action wrestling. And that's not a very strong babyface. See, no matter what you do, no matter how much heat you put on it, that is not a strong babyface. My worry is that TNA built up a strong heel, but they're not willing to build up a strong babyface that is not total nonstop action wrestling or Hulk Hogan. And that's frightening. That shows that they aren't promoting to their best. And I want to be proven wrong. I want TNA to have a guy. I want it. Maybe it's AJ Styles. Maybe this whole story with him is him coming back to be the savior of TNA wrestling. I mean, hell of a story. If, you know, let's fantasy book this out. He comes back, he ends up having a few matches, and AJ Styles says, I want the first title shot I can get. You know, Bully Ray's still champion in this situation. He holds that title all the way through. And it's, you know, the TNA original. It's the guy, AJ Styles. He runs through the Bound for Glory series. He does it the right way. He has amazing, amazing matches. It is. And then you build up AJ Styles versus Bully Ray at Bound for Glory. AJ's first title shot in a year. It's AJ's first title shot in a year. It's Bully Ray having to defend it against the biggest TNA original, and you put AJ over. Cool. That works. Hell, maybe it's Matt Morgan. Maybe the idea of what they're doing now is Hogan eventually has to go to Matt Morgan, swallow his pride, admit he's wrong, and say, Matt, I need you. Maybe that's the story. That's cool. TNA has some building blocks there for these stories, but what I see now is what I see from a lot of wrestling promotions, and that's the promotion being the babyface. Contrast this quickly with The Shield in WWE. Now, I know we're not talking about a roster-splitting faction war, then we're talking about a three-man trio wreaking havoc. But, you know, the WWE All-Stars banded against them, but it wasn't all of WWE. There's not a situation where the whole company is against these guys. Yeah, maybe they don't like them. But, you know, you don't see a guy like Antonio Cesaro getting involved. He doesn't care. This, you know, you don't see a lot of guys getting involved with it because they, you know, it doesn't concern them. With TNA, they're making it so it concerns everyone. So that's my worry. That is my one kind of major criticism of this story. Now, let's back up a little bit because that's a criticism based on kind of saying this is where I think it's going. Prove me wrong, please, TNA. I want to be proven wrong. I want to say I had this worry 3 months ago, but man, they're doing some great work now. That's my dream. That's what I really want. TNA has a lot of pieces in place right now. They've got the major heel faction. They've got the heel world champion. They have the pieces in place. They did the big reset to get where they wanted to go, and they're there. They have to tell compelling stories at this point. And I think this week was a great start towards telling compelling stories. And part of telling a compelling story is having a compelling backdrop for it, which is why I really do believe the major story coming out of this show is the production element. It is the crowd. It is the fact that TNA looked like a major wrestling promotion, not the place that tapes in a sound studio, not three steps above Ring of Honor. They looked one step below WWE, if not even with WWE from a production standpoint. So kudos to TNA for that. Really, really great work on this show. I'm psyched about Impact on the Road. I think it's going to be a really fun thing that TNA is doing, and I'm very, very, very excited to watch the next few months of TNA programming. Thank you guys for listening to this .NET All Access Audio. Like I said, check us out. ProWrestling.net's a website. Maybe if you're on the run right now, go into the App Store on your phone. Get the ProWrestling.net app. You get all of our news. Basically, everything we put on the website, you can get on the app. It's pretty awesome that way. So check it out. Thank you guys for listening, and have a great weekend.